Gospel of John chapter 3, and we're going to look for a few minutes, verse number 16 through 21. We've been in the Gospel of John now, that's since the new year, and we are going to chew through it. It's a great book, and the more I study it, the more I just am amazed at the things that are in here. That's the way it is the whole Bible. It wouldn't matter what book we were in, that's what the Bible is like. But we're going to start in our very familiar John 3:16. Most popular verse, it's like the song Amazing Grace. Everybody's sung it. Everybody's heard it somewhere around the world. If you want to quote one verse and somebody picks it up, it's this one, John 3:16, and that's where we're going to start. We're going to end at verse 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Together, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now I want us to zero in on our text here, verse number 19, our text verse, verse 19. Let's read it together. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I've entitled this message, What You Love Could Condemn You. What you love could condemn you. And that is what is being taught here. Now remember, Jesus is teaching one man here. He's still talking to one man. And that man's name was? Nicodemus. He's talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is getting a Bible lesson here, the gospel. Nicodemus, Mr. Religion Nicodemus, just like you were religious, Mennonite, can be religious but not have Christ, not know the truth. That's what Nicodemus was, religious but lost. And Christ is sharing this very important truth with him, Mr. Religious Nicodemus. Let's pray. Father, help me in a few words this morning, a few words, share the truth of this portion of Scripture that will make a difference for those who are seeking and trying to learn and grow in their Christian faith. And maybe, Lord, there's somebody here today, religious but lost, just like Nicodemus. I pray, Father, you would just bless our time with your presence, with the work of your Spirit, Lord. Just like we've learned already, the work of the Holy Spirit is the key to everything about the gospel, everything about your work. And Lord, I pray you would just bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, I just want to share one little tidbit popped into my mind while I was praying. I guess I must mean to share it, but I just want to share this, that, you know, when people leave your church, and I've heard all these preachers say, let the people who are called to the ministry go. Don't hold them back. Be behind them. It's hard when you're pastoring a church with so many empty pews and empty seats. It's hard to let people go. Jesse and Tara are on the way up to Coal Lake, and interim, remember, it's interim, okay? They still have a house in PA, so it might still end up, but we want the will of God for them. But I got a call the other day, an email, and I can't share it. It's confidential, secret. But somebody called, a very amazing person, and he says, I put a request on BP Canada that our prison ministry, that we need help. I got this email from a man, an amazing guy. He says, I am considering Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, to come pray with me. So we can pray. I can't give you his name, okay? That's his request. but I'm just saying pray that God will send laborers to Prince Albert to help us. Okay? I have another thing too, but I can't share that yet either, going on. A big thing. It's got amazing potential, and can't share that yet either, yet, at their request, but I will soon, okay? Just pray. Right now we're in Sunday morning, and we're here in honor of a missionary couple going to Bolivia, and we are thrilled to be able to have them, number one, and have a part in their ministry. That's the idea of it. We don't just have them here to entertain us. We're here to actually share their burden in Bolivia and their ministry and to support them financially and in prayer. Okay? We have an annual meeting, and that's what annual meetings are about. We have several people on that list to support at the annual meeting, but that'll be on the 20th. So please, if you can put that in your schedule to be at that meeting, if you're a member, and if you're not a member, try to be there anyway, okay, for that. And we'll consider supporting this couple at that time. Okay, here. What you love could condemn you. Jesus is teaching Nicodemus. Nicodemus is curious. He knows that Jesus is not just a normal teacher, prophet. Remember, this country has been in darkness for 400 years. No revival, no great preacher that is going to stir the hearts of people until John the Baptist. John the Baptist came on the scene, and that began to turn everything. The preaching of the gospel. I didn't used to like preaching of the gospel. I didn't like listening to it. I would turn it off if it came on the radio. I didn't want it. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to listen to it. But something happened inside of me. Now I love it. I listen to it in the car. I listen to it whenever I get a chance. I love it. People in this room love preaching. You're the same way now. Something happens to change that. It is the gospel. It's the new birth. Just what Jesus was teaching to religious Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, we've covered quite a few things here already, but here in this John chapter 3 record, only recorded, by the way, by John, not by the other. This is not one of those parallel things where you can read about it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's just in the Gospel of John. John is the gospel. It's the gospel book. It's to all the world. It is just John recording the message of Christ. With his keen ears, he was recording these things and communicating them by written page that became Bible for the ages. The word love is mentioned two times in this text, two times. God's love in verse 16, God so loved the world. That was God's love. Then in verse 19, we see it mentioned again, the word love. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Darkness and light. Now, if you remember, when Jesus' first lesson number one to Nicodemus was the new birth, you must be born again. That was his lesson one. Nicodemus, you must be born again, or you will not understand the things of God. And this is when he says born again, it meant born from above. It's a birth from above. And we see that. We learned that in John chapter 3. This is not just like a natural birth. It's a heavenly birth. It's a spiritual birth. And to have that, you had to have the Word. You have to have the whole work of the Holy Spirit. And it's a birth that is not of the will of men, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. That goes right back to chapter 1, the new birth. John was very wanted this new birth to be understood. He taught it in John 1. He taught it again to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And we see the others, really, we could go into this new birth and the birth from above. It's referred to by Peter, by Paul. It's a real New Testament teaching. born from above, a Holy Spirit birth in the heart that changes you. Brother Croker shared his testimony. His new birth happened in a room in an apartment in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories, and he believed. The Holy Spirit revealed, he believed, and he was birthed from above, okay? But this is the danger. This is what is so crucial. Now remember, Jesus is still teaching Nicodemus this lesson. He's going through last week. He taught that you must be. He taught him just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And to Nicodemus, what nonsense is this? The Son of Man must be lifted up. What is he talking about? He couldn't put the pieces together. And Jesus taught like this a lot, even to his disciples. They couldn't put the pieces together of Jesus' teaching until after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, and when the Holy Spirit came. That's when things started to really, they started to put pieces together. And you know what it did for Nicodemus? Nicodemus got saved. I believe with all my heart. We see him two more times in the Gospel of John recorded. He's not a child of the night anymore. He's a child of the day. And he is confessing Christ openly. Back to our text. We see the doctrine here of darkness and light. What John is doing in the Gospel of John is revealing a new creation. It is a new creation. We could say the new birth is a new creation. It is like God creating something all over again. It is like Genesis 1 happening all over again. He is in the creation mode in John. John is referring to a new creation, and the new birth is a new creation. It is new. It's a new beginning. It's a new start. That's a miracle. Remember the first miracle? What was the first miracle? Let's go a little history here. The first miracle Jesus taught was, it was on his public ministry, he did something at a very special place. He turned the water into wine. 6 big stone water pots. You know what? And Jesus says, fill those water pots with water. They fill them right to the brim with water. Then he says, take that water, and he says, give it to the guests. They reach into the top of that water pot, and they start serving everybody. Now, only the servants knew what was in that pot. And he takes that, gives you a drink, goes over here, gives you one, gives him. Wow, this is the best wine. Wow. They usually serve the best wine first and the other wine late. But this wedding, they're serving it now, at later. Nobody knew except the servants. The rest of the crowd were just grateful for the great wine at this feast. You know what Jesus was teaching there? You know what he was teaching? He was teaching the new birth. That's what he was teaching at that wedding. That miracle was an illustration of the new birth. Stone water pot, that's you and me. Stone water pot, you're a stone water. Now, Grant, I believe it with you. You're a stone water pot, okay? Okay? I'm a stone water pot. That means really good for not much except one thing, holding something. Jesus, whatever he did there, it was not the will of man. It was not the will of the flesh. It was not anything but God. And they take that wine and they taste it. That water. And it was delicious, class, the best of the best wine. It was a miracle. God created something out of nothing. He took water and turned it into wine for that wedding feast. He takes a stone water pot, fills it with water, and I believe the water is a picture of the Word of God. The first thing you've got to have is a God Word. You've got to hear God's Word, and you've got to fill it up. John shared his testimony. He was in the Bible. He was starting to read. And he was sharing at the table last night. It didn't make a lot of sense. It was frustrating. It just did not click. Nothing clicked. And you read, and it just, until he turns the water into wine. God had to do something. Once that happens, everything changes. You see different. You hear different. Everything takes a whole new perspective once you're born again. So John is focused on this record of the new birth. John chapter 1, he talks about the birth. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And then he says, how? To them, this is not a birth by the will of the man, not a birth by the will of flesh. It's not by man at all. This is God. This thing starts with God and ends with God. It's a miracle. It's not by praying a certain prayer a certain way. That a lot of people have gotten confused. A lot of young people are confused today because they afraid, maybe I didn't pray quite right. Maybe I didn't go to the do it right. It's got nothing to, really, what it's got to do with is just what John in his apartment, it's believing in your heart. And the miracle happens. That's the only thing you do. Believe. It's not praying a prayer. I hate to disappoint a lot of you. It is not praying a prayer. Now, I'm not against praying a prayer. I think that's what we need to pray a prayer. Praying a prayer is healthy, but that's not the gospel message. Doesn't anywhere. I cannot find that anywhere in the New Testament where it says pray a prayer in order to get saved. It's not there. Now, maybe you can show me somewhere, but I can't find it. It doesn't say it, not one time in the Bible. Now, it says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But that's not praying a prayer. Now, you can pray a prayer and it can happen. I'm not against this. I'm for. If somebody comes to me and I show them, somebody just did a couple weeks, and we'll go into the council room and I'll do that and I'll say, are you ready? Do you want to receive Christ? Do you want to receive him? You can do that right now by calling on his name, because that is in the Bible. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to call to be saved. But it's God's work. All you do is believe and call on his name wherever. It can be in your apartment, in a truck, car. It can be from your heart. It's not necessarily a prayer. It's not anything. It's believing. Okay, believing in Jesus Christ with your heart. He says it's a new creation. Now, let's go back here. I want us to just go back to John chapter 1 and verse 5. Men love darkness. It is what you love could condemn you. And he's using this illustration of darkness. Darkness is everything down here. Light is everything above. He's separating what's above from below. He is trying to illustrate a very important point, and he uses the word darkness. Now, John chapter 1 and verse number 5. John 1 and verse 5. As he introduces the book. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He's using this word darkness right at the beginning of his book to teach this life above from the life below, this life on earth versus a heavenly life. He uses the word darkness. I did a lot of thinking about this, not just now, but through the years. A few verses later, he talks about this new birth, being born not of the will of, verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He's building up to the what happens in a new creation of a human being when God turns water into wine in a life. Darkness. I want us to go back now to the first book in the Bible. It's a real easy one to find. Genesis chapter 1. First book in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. And it's the first chapter, the first verses. Very first one. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Okay? Let's look at what it says here. Verse 2. And verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You know what you have here? John, 4,000 years later, is referring to this darkness and light principle. We see here in the first creation, when God made heavens and earth, the heavens and the earth, God created it out of nothing. God created heaven out of his word. It was his word. He said, let there be light. You see that all the way through. It was his word. His word created it. It was his plan and his word, his will, his sovereign will for his plan. Now we see in this verse also the earth was without form and void, and darkness. It was darkness, and God created a new creation out of darkness. We see a third thing here, the Spirit. The Spirit of God was in that first creation. He was hovering upon, it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, I don't understand all this. All I see is darkness, God and a plan, God with a purpose, and the Spirit of God. My dear friends, for the new birth and for God to create a new person, we see in the new birth, the Spirit of God has to be the agent to do all the work. It is the agent, it is the word, it is the Spirit, the same thing. Our job is to get the word out. Taking the word out to Prince Albert, sharing the word, share the word, make sure, know the word, share the gospel tracts like Brother John just shared with him. His boss gave him a gospel tract. It was the gospel tract that he started reading over and over. I've heard that testimony over and over through my 40-some years of being a Christian. The gospel tract that changed my life. We have them all over the back. Put them in your car, your purse, your pockets. Take them. They work. Give them. Just sow the seed. Give them out. And eventually somebody like John will get one. He'll go home and he's going to read it over and over and over and over and over. Several years ago, I was in the Arctic. It's Northwest Territories, Nunavut now. And I met this lady up there who was in a church in Rankin Inlet in the 1980s. And so I asked her, I said, so when were you saved? She gave me the most amazing testimony. She says, well, actually, she said, in 1955, I was in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. I was walking up Central Avenue in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, and somebody came out of the I went to the Princess Cafe. Now, if you know, on Central Avenue, right here in Prince Albert, there is still a Princess Cafe. That Princess Cafe goes all the way back to 1955. And that lady said, I went into the Princess Cafe for a bowl of soup, and somebody gave me a tract. I was going up to the bus depot, which used to be right on the corner over here on Central Avenue, right at the top. That was the bus depot, not where it had been for years. It was just right up there where the Venice House is. That was the bus depot. She said, I went up there. I got on the bus with my tract. I put the tract in my purse. And she says, in those days, all across Canada, most of the roads were gravel, not paved like they are today. You'd be on paved for a while, and then you'd go on to gravel. You'd be on paved and go on to gravel. She says, Vancouver was a long ways from Prince Albert, and that's where I was going, Vancouver. There was nothing to read. So what I read over and over and over was that gospel tract. I read it over. And it said at the end of the track, if you have never ever done this, call upon the Lord Jesus and ask him to be your Savior. See, that is legitimate. Call upon the Lord. She said, I did that. Somewhere, at one of the spots, I called on Jesus from my heart. Then I get to Vancouver. I want to find a church. By the way, that happens to born-again people. You want to find a church. And you should be in a church. A church family where God's people meet. That's, you know what that is? That's his body. You know what we're meeting? We're meeting with the body of Christ. You meet together. Until you're born again, it doesn't really make any difference. Church, whether I come or go. But once you're born again, you will yearn for it. You will want it. You will desire it. From something deep inside will draw you, and you will look and look and look. That was me many years ago. She gets there. She gets to a church. And in this church, I don't know, in the early days that she was in, there was a missionary there, visited the church, just like the Croakers are here today. And this missionary was from the Arctic. And so this lady responded to the call at that meeting and said, I want to go to the Arctic, Lord, if you want me to go. Because he was talking about the great needs in the Arctic. And she went as a missionary to the Arctic and died there. Went up there and served many, many years. I thought, wow, that is through the track being given the word. Folks, that's what it is, the word. And then the Spirit, God, working. It's the word filling the water pots with water. It's the word filling, getting the word, and then the Holy Spirit uses the word. And I'm telling you this morning, if you've got questions about eternal life, about salvation, and about you, I strongly encourage you, get into the word. Open the word of God. It's going to take some courage to do it, but the evidence is all there. Just get in the word and start reading it. And I would, just like the preacher told me years ago, if you've never read the Bible before, go to the Gospel of John, the one that we're reading right now. And he says, go through it once, go through it twice, and even three times, and you might be amazed what will happen. The Spirit of God, there is darkness, okay? Now, verse 4 of Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. That's Genesis 1:4. So we see this division of light and darkness, always a division, of light and darkness. Verse number 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Amazing. Verse number 18. Go all the way down to verse. And verse 17 and 18. And God set them in the firmament, in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that God makes a difference between light and darkness. When you cross over, when you become a child of God, you're crossing from the darkness over to the light side. Verse number 18. I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 9. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, and I don't have the Pew Bible number, I'm sorry. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 9. David here echoing a song of God's goodness to him. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. You know what God will do? He'll lighten your darkness. He will really lighten your darkness. I want you to go now to Psalms 107. Psalms 107. We'll do a few in Psalms here about darkness. Psalms 107 and verse number 14. Psalms 107 and verse number 14. He says here, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Who did he do this for? Why and when did he do that? Look at the previous verse. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. And you know, the next verse says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. You know, my dear friends, God's mission, God's purpose, and God's plan is to take you and deliver you from darkness. I am telling you, flee to Jesus Christ. Flee to him, to the Bible. It is the only way out of darkness. It is not becoming religious. It is about the Bible. It is about his light. It is about his word, darkness. He refers to the old life as a life of darkness. Go to Psalms 112 now. Psalms 112 and verse number 14. No, 4. Psalms 112 and verse number 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. You see that? He uses darkness. There arises light in the darkness. Now, this is a testimony of somebody. Now, what about you? Can you remember when light rose in your darkness? That's a testimony of salvation. It's a testimony of what God has done. Light in arising in darkness. God showing you truth, revealing truth. Psalms, Proverbs, the next book. Proverbs. I could go to many here, but Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 19, we see it again, the principle of light and darkness. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 19. Verse 18, actually, 18 and 19. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The perfect day is the day we're looking forward to when Christ comes back and fixes everything. The perfect day. Verse number 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And I've only touched on a few. Back to our text, John chapter 3. John chapter 3, light and darkness. Now, it says in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I want to tell you this morning, what you love, is probably the thing that is going to condemn you. Now, in this text of John's little lesson to Nicodemus, we see one word, believe, and believe it. Believe, 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 believe. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what he was giving Nicodemus? A very important lesson. Mr. Religious Nicodemus, who knew the law. He knew all of this do. He knew ritual. He knew tradition. He knew it. He was the best. He was a teacher. Nicodemus was a real somebody. But he didn't have this right. He didn't believe right. He didn't believe in the Son of God. Standing right in front of him, unveiling the truth of Scripture, and Nicodemus couldn't get it. He couldn't believe. He says it. I can't get it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. He wouldn't believe. And the other word he uses several times is the word condemned and condemnation. Now we love the verse, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now look at the next verse. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, Jesus was coming to save a condemned world. The world is already condemned. The day you were born, there was a condemnation written on your name, condemned to perish, to die forever. You say, that doesn't seem fair. It isn't fair because Adam got us in this mess. We inherited his problem, and we still have it. But Jesus came so we could be delivered from the condemnation of sin and death and darkness. Darkness. That is what the whole purpose. Now look at the next verse, number 18. We see the word condemned. Underline it in your Bible there. Condemned, condemnation, condemned, condemnation, condemnation, condemned. And Jesus is making a point here. Nicodemus, you have to believe on the Son of God. If you don't, you're condemned. You're condemned already, Nicodemus. Don't you? This is a worldwide condemnation. Look at verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. If you believe on the Son of God, you're not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why is he condemned already? Because he hath not, we see the word believed now, believed again in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation. This is why the whole world is condemned. This is why the entire human race is condemned. This is why being religious, it's not just being religious. He said, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. That's him, the truth, the script. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They loved the darkness. They loved the darkness. That's why you people don't like. I've got good friends I used to work with, guys in construction, guys in aviation, guys that I know well. And I mean, we were like this, buddies, friends, until I got saved, until I started sharing the gospel, Christ, truth. At first, they tried to figure out what happened to me. But after that, it was like when they see... I still invite them for coffee once in a while. I say, you want to go for coffee? Make sure they're still living, some of them. And I say, would you like to go for coffee? And when you're next time you're in town, I said, give me a call. I'd like to go for coffee. Yeah, we'll have to do that. But they never call. You know why? Because of what they love. It's what they love. You see, they love down here. They love this down here life. They're in love with down here. They don't want anything revealing anything about their life, because deep down they know it's wrong. They know they're on the wrong path, and they don't want a Dave Webster bringing any of that gospel stuff. That's right, exactly. And it's the same. You see, and what I'm telling you this morning is what you love. It's what you love is going to be your destiny. But I'll tell you something. God will change your love. I didn't used to love God. I didn't used to love the Bible. I didn't used to love anything about Christianity. I didn't used to love those things. But one day God turned the water into wine. And things changed. Something changed down inside of me. I was on the phone with my mom a few weeks later, and she says, David, something has happened to you. You aren't the same person. Now, if anybody can do an evaluation on somebody, it's mom. If anybody knows kids, it's mom. And there was something in my voice. I wasn't preaching to her. I had heard a gospel program. All of a sudden, there was a new desire in my heart. There was something in me that was luring me, and I was wrestling with being ashamed and being bold and wondering what to do, but there was something happened. I listened to the gospel and responded, and I had believed in my heart, and it changed something. It changed my love. All of a sudden, I start loving. I love God. I start loving the Bible. I start loving being around Christians. Before, I used to... Christians, I respected them, people that believed God and all that. I respected them, but it wasn't for me. That's how I used to be. That was not for me. Until the water was turned into wine. It changes your heart, your love. You see, now I know the roast is on and it's probably simmering away, and the wife is, I'm going to be done real quick, okay? John chapter 5, we're in the Gospel of John, just flip over, John chapter 5 and verse number 32. Jesus touches on this with these religious people. John chapter 5, real short verse, John chapter 5 and verse 42. I said 32, 42. Jesus, he tells this crowd of religious people. They were his biggest enemy. It was religious people. They were religious. They were righteous. They were rule bent on rules. But they were missing this one area. Look at verse 42. He says, "But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you." You have not the love of God in you. And you know who these religious people were? They were Nicodemus, as a whole bunch of them. And they were condemned because of their love in them. I want you to go to more scripture, and we're done. Okay? Mark chapter 10. Matthew, Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Mark 10, verse 17. Mark 10 and verse 17. We have a young man here with a question. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" Verse 17. "Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good?'" He says, "Why are you calling me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Do you know the commandments?" He says. "Do you commit adultery? Do you kill? Do you steal? Do you bear false witness? Do you fraud? Do you honor your father and mother?" Verse 20. "And he answered and he said unto him, 'Master, all these have I done from my youth.'" Just like John, trying to do right. Verse 21. "And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him." Now, Jesus, you got God's love here for this young man. God, Jesus loved him. His heart goes out to him. "Jesus said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.'" Look at the answer, verse 22. "And this young man, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." You know what Jesus did? He brought the truth to this young man. He had a question. He hears the question. God gives him the answer. He says, "Take everything you have and sell it." Now, we don't get saved by selling all that we have. That's not how we get saved, not by selling what we have. It's by believing. But before you can believe, my dear friend, you got to be willing to decide what you're going to love. God or your things. God, the things of God, or here. And this young man went away sad. He says, no, that's not for me. I can't do that. You see, his love condemned him. Now, we don't know, maybe later on in life he did get saved, but here he didn't. He went away. What I'm trying to make a point this morning, darkness and light, the new birth, truth and error, the whole gospel is summed up in one simple word, believe. But in order to believe, you have to decide what you're going to love. And you got to be willing to let go of the things here in order to love the things of God. And it'll be the biggest, hardest, most difficult decision you'll ever make in your life, to let this life go for the life that God has for you. But I'll tell you, if you're willing to do it, you will never have one moment of regret ever. But you're going to be brought to that crossroad. What are you going to love? Let's pray. Father,